Good morning.
Good morning.
As Jen said, my name is Dwayne. I'm one of the leaders with the high school ministry. Today is not Youth Sunday. It is New Year's Eve. And you don't know how hard that was for me to keep that straight. Today's message is titled, Remember the Lord Your God. If you spent much time watching TV or on social media for the last week or so, you've probably seen tons of reflections on the last year. Everyone is putting together highlight reels, something like ESPN's Top 10 Plays of 2023, or Billboard's Best Songs of 2023. You've probably seen pictures of family vacations and big announcements such as childbirths and engagements, people graduating from high school or college. Maybe pictures show friends relocating to a new area or buying a new home. All kinds of good things in those recaps. But how often do you see God being credited with those accomplishments? I assume it's not very often. Now, some do give a short praise to honor God, but I don't think it's very common. People don't take time to say, "The Lord took care of me this year." Praise God for all that he has done. So my question for us this morning is, what about us? Are we any different? Have you thought about the Lord's role in your life for this past year? This morning I want to give you one simple encouragement from Deuteronomy 8. And that's to remember the Lord. The new year is often a time of reflection. So as you reflect over the past year, and as you look forward to the year to come, take time to remember the Lord your God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 8. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 20. Everybody there? Just about. Deuteronomy 8, starting at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you use it to just help us to remember you as we look back over these last few months, this last year. Help us to honor you as we move forward with whatever time you give us. We thank you for this opportunity this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to split this talk into two sections. A warning not to forget and a command to remember. Now, I realize that sounds like two ways of saying the same thing. But the passage describes those two in different ways. With the warning, we'll see when we forget God, what we forget about Him, and what we do instead. And with the command to remember the Lord, we'll discuss His care for us, His faithfulness, and His judgment. Now, we've got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right in, and I'm going to try not to talk too fast. A warning not to forget the Lord your God. Now, most of us know that we're not supposed to forget the Lord. We're supposed to honor Him, obey His commands, and strive to bring Him glory with our lives. The problem is that our lives don't seem to be set up to do just that, which is why we get this warning. Now, if we look at this list, these are things that we consider blessings from God, because they are. An abundance of food, good homes to live in, money and valuable assets. These can all be gifts from God. But when we get those things, we think we've arrived. There's nothing better for us. We've reached the pinnacle in life, and our only job is to hold on to it. And so we focus so much on maintaining that we forget how we got there. And if we're not quite there yet in our own minds, our focus becomes, how can we get there? Which also leads us to forget the Lord. The warning here is not to forget the Lord when life is good. When we have what we wanted. When our hearts are content. Some of these things we've prayed for. Lord, please let me get this job. Please, Lord, let my offer on this house be accepted. Please help me get into college. And then there are things that we wanted that we didn't pray for, and the Lord gave them to us anyway. When those prayers are answered, we're not supposed to act as if it wasn't a big deal. Like, God does this all the time. Of course He would do that for me. We can tend to act like He owes us something. So when we say those things, or do those things, it leads us to push the Lord's gifts to the back of our minds. And to just move on with life like it's an everyday occurrence. Like if we wait long enough, another gift is coming around the corner. That's not a good way of thinking about the Lord's blessings. Being taken care of is a good thing, but it shouldn't make us forgetful. So we have to be on guard when things are going well. Do you know what's missing from those highlight reels that we see on TV and social media? The hard times. Nobody wants to remember the hard times. Now, I get it. We don't want a 30-second reel of our suffering over the last year. But are we also leaving out the fact that the Lord brought us through those hard times? That's the what that we forget. That God took care of us. We may not have been wandering through the desert, facing drought and scorpions, but there was likely something significant to you that happened over this last year or so that God saw you through. This year, my dad passed away, which made this year incredibly hard for me. And just last week, I witnessed a house fire that consumed the lives of two people. It was my sister's neighbor. My sister spent a lot of time trying to comfort her neighbor who had just lost his wife. Later, we found out that his sister passed away at the hospital. Events like these can leave us all distraught, wondering what's going on. And yet, even then, God brings us through these times. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. He comes alongside us and helps us out. Now, I don't know what the wilderness looks like for you personally, but I'm guessing most of us have gone through something at some point. We've lost loved ones. We've battled declining health. We've worried about bills and battled depression. Some of us are actively battling at this moment. But the Lord has still been good to us, providing for our needs. He brings us through these things. And for some of us, He's already brought us out of a bad situation into a better one. We shouldn't forget that. Think about those times when you prayed to the Lord because you were feeling crushed by life, and He answered you. These are examples of His grace and mercy, which are worth remembering. We need to hold on to these memories and do our best not to forget that the Lord took care of us over this last year. If we do that, we can avoid the common pitfall that usually comes with forgetfulness. And that's thinking that we took care of ourselves. Look down at verse 17. It says, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." That's what we do instead of remembering the Lord. We assume that our abilities brought us success. Now, we have all kinds of skills, things that look good on a resume, things that sound good when we're talking to friends. But who gave you those skills? Was it as simple as learning new things and practicing them? When I think about acquiring skills, I often think about the Israelites who built the tabernacle. If you're in Exodus 31, God tells Moses that He gave the men the ability to construct the tent and its furnishings. He gave them knowledge and craftsmanship. And it seems likely that they probably already had those skills before they were asked. I imagine they didn't just pick up a tool for the first time and build a tent worthy of the Lord. We're the same way. But even if we have taken classes and practiced our craft for hours, it's still God who enables us to do so. Now, I know many of us have worked hard on degrees. We spent extra hours at work to earn more money or a Christmas bonus. But who provided you with the time and resources to get those things done? We don't have the right to take credit for the Lord's work. That's a sure sign that we have forgotten the Lord's involvement in our lives. So let that be a warning to us, that as we look back on the successes of this last year, that we not assume that it was by our own power and might. At this point, I want to switch to the command to remember. I listed out three things for us to remember: God's care for us, His faithfulness, and His judgment. So we'll start by looking more at His care for us. Now, verse 18 says that it's He who gives us the power to get wealth, He being God. And we've already talked about how God gives us skills, but He also provides the right environment for things to happen. In biblical times, that was often God bringing rain or the right amount of sunshine for crops to grow. In our times, it may look more like receiving opportunities that we were hoping for. Your boss asking you if you want to take a higher position with better pay. Or maybe a recruiter comes to your presentation and says, "I think you should apply to my company." God puts you in the right place at the right time. But sometimes He also just brings you what you need. My life has been full of those moments this year. As my sister and I were trying to figure out how to cover the cost of my dad's burial, my wife Amy got a raise. She got a bonus that helped with that cost. My sister got a raise that helped with other expenses. We had no control over that. God just took care of us. The Lord knows what we need, and He provides. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. We can only do that if we remember the Lord. Now, verse 18 talks about financial stability. But the earlier verses talk about God's protection of His people. How He led them through scary, if not dangerous, situations. And that care is extended to us. I think of the fire beside my sister's house. And how my sister and the neighbor on the other side had no damage to their houses. And yes, they're both believers. I think about how when our car needed repairs, it was able to keep working while we waited for an opening at the repair shop. Now, I did ask the repair guy if it was safe to drive. And he told me if that sound gets worse, you better park it. But we didn't have to. And maybe you have similar stories running through your mind right now. Stories of how God shielded you from potential problems. It's worth recalling these and seeing them as examples of how God cares for us. We need to remember that He cares. Now, at the end of verse 17, the verse says that God does these things to confirm His covenant with His people. The Lord was faithful to fulfill His promises. He cared for Israel. He protected them time and time again. He moved them into the promised land. He gave them victory over their enemies in battle. He forgave their sins when they would repent and turn back to Him. He did what He said He would do. But Christians aren't under the same covenant as Israel. According to the author of Hebrews, we're under a better covenant, one with better promises, one ushered in by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that new covenant still comes with promises of care and protection. That's not to say that we won't have trials and suffering, but during those times, the Lord will guard us and keep us. And ultimately, followers of Jesus will receive eternal life and an inheritance with God in His dwelling place. A place with no sin or decay. But eternity can feel distant. As we go by our days, eternal life can seem like something to consider later. And while I think that's a bad way to view God's gift, I can understand that feeling. So I ask you, how has God's covenantal faithfulness played out in your own life over this last year? Can you see God working around you? I asked a friend this question, and he answered with a definitive yes. He told me about how the Lord drew him to Himself and how he truly came to faith instead of just looking the part. How the Lord healed my friend's broken marriage and continues to hold him up through various challenges that he faces. Now, I'm intentionally being vague, but I want you to fill in your own story. Look back over these last few years. As you reflect, can you remember the Lord's faithfulness in your own life? In the lives of your friends and your family? Those memories help us to trust God's promises and His plan for the future. So we need to remember His faithfulness. Now, the last point feels a little different. It may come across as a little harsh, It's God's judgment. If we look at these last two verses of our passage, they look like they should fit more of a warning category. But I can still see within them the command to remember God's judgment. God had strong words for Israel if they failed to obey him. They would be cast out of the promised land. But not just cast out. They'd perish, like the nations who lived there before them. And if you spent much time reading any of the prophets who described the exile of Israel and Judah, you know just how devastating that actually was. I've been in the book of Jeremiah for the last few weeks. I couldn't help but think, why didn't they just obey? They acted like they were following the Lord, but in reality they were faking. And God sent them plenty of warnings, but they ignored them. It's tempting to think God's judgment is something of the past, something of the old covenant. But you know, the New Testament contains warnings as well. Warnings we all need to keep in mind. Jesus often talked about a place where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place reserved for those who rebelled against God and therefore are outside of his kingdom. We should remember these warnings of God's judgment, because judgment is not a thing of the past. Hebrews 2 says this. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord and attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Not remembering equates neglecting Jesus' offer of salvation. Verse 19 of our passage says that those who forget the Lord shall surely perish. And that is something we do not want to experience. If we actually take this seriously, remembering God's judgment should keep us on the right track. It should help us remember to obey his commands. Things like love God and love your neighbor. Seems simple enough, right? All right, I've said through a lot, so let's recap. We're not to forget the Lord. Forgetting him leads to disobedience. And disobedience leads to dire consequences. We're to be on guard when life is good and things are going our way, because that's an easy time for us to forget God. When we are tempted to think that we're the ones who made things happen, that our success was because of our own efforts, we need to remember that it was actually the Lord who took care of us, and he continues to do so because of his faithfulness. Remember his faithfulness to Israel, and remember his faithfulness to us as well. And lastly, we need to remember God's judgment. God's wrath is a real thing. Judgment is scary if you're not a believer. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you're a believer, but you don't think about God very often, I suggest you pause for a moment to examine your own faith. Make sure it's genuine. That you will be in the kingdom when the end comes. So my encouragement to you is to reflect over this last year. And as you do so, remember the Lord your God. Honor him. And if you find yourself putting together your own recaps over the last year, or making posts about your goals for the upcoming year, give God his credit. Honor him. And maybe it'll encourage others to do the same. All right, let me pray for us once again. Father, there are so many memories that we can call at any time. And you were there for them all. If we pay close attention, we can see how you've guided us, how you've cared for us, how you've drawn us to yourself. And if necessary, you've reprimanded us so that we get back on track. We thank you for that because that helps us to trust you, to know that you are good. You have good things planned for us. And so we ask, Lord, that you just help us to keep you in the center of our lives. Help us to remember you. Help us to honor you. We thank you for this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.